The president spoke for 45 minutes yesterday about a whole range of things having to do with the Middle East. And now with a look at the reaction from the Middle East and North Africa, our friend David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. He's in Cairo right now outside a mosque. There's lots of noise in the background. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
So tell me about the reaction of the Egyptians, particularly where you are in Cairo.
Well, the reaction across the Middle East in the Arab world was pretty similar. In the U.S., and really it's a story of contrast between how things are heard here and how they're heard in the U.S. In the U.S., the people think that President Obama took a strong stand and asked President Mubarak to go at the climax of the Egyptian revolution. And they think that in the speech, Obama went a step further and made news by, for the first time, explicitly endorsing a 1967 border for Israel. Here, it's a completely different story. The perception here is that the United States dithered until well after President Mubarak had lost his legitimacy in the Egyptian revolution. And in fact, even after it was clear that he was going to have to go before they finally signed on to that publicly. So that people see the speech through the lens of that experience, and it's hard for them to get the idea, to really take in the idea that Obama now is championing these democracy movements around the Middle East. Notable was the absence of any reference to Saudi Arabia, which is a major backer of a lot of conservatism around the region, especially in Bahrain, where Saudi troops crushed the revolt. Here in Egypt, you can add to that some gratitude for the $1 billion in aid forgiveness, coupled with a sense that that's inadequate. You know, because of the way that people perceive Obama and especially the United States, that $1 billion in aid was sort of perceived as kind of an atonement. And if you measure that against what the United States spent in its military involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan, which remain enormously unpopular here, or what the United States spent over the years in military aid to the Mubarak government, well, it doesn't measure up. Then you've got $1 billion in debt forgiveness against tens and hundreds of billion dollars. So people were not that impressed, except perhaps for some people who really follow things closely and thought, well, look, the president for the first time has at least explicitly endorsed those 1967 borders.
And there was and it, also people who reacted to him specifically naming places like Yemen and Bahrain and sanctions against Syria?
There were people recognized that in those cases, the president was criticizing some U.S. allies, and he gets some points for that. But the criticisms even there were muted. He came pretty close to calling for President Assad of Syria to step down when he said that Assad should, quote, get out of the way or participate in reform. But it wasn't quite, you've got to go now, which is what the way people here are thinking. And as far as the Israeli borders, I should say, most people here assume that the 1967 borders were the baseline for negotiations for a long time. So to them, it's not that big a news that now the president says it explicitly and aloud.
That's David Kirkpatrick, New York Times Cairo bureau chief, speaking to us live from Cairo there. Thank you very much, David.
All right. Talk to you later.
Reaction to President Obama's Middle East policy speech from yesterday.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.